Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. I just wanted to say thank you, Pastor, for giving me this opportunity once again. I never take it lightly to be standing up here, especially to be standing in this spot right here in front of all of you. I never take it lightly. It still scares me to death. But I pray that it never stops scaring me, because the day that it stops scaring me is probably the day that I need to be sitting down there. Last time I was here, I gave you guys an update. The fact that Pastor kind of mentioned it this morning, I didn't have a job last time I was here, and I also announced that my wife is pregnant. Praise the Lord, He provides. In mid-March, I was able to, the Lord provided me with a job, and I've been working it for the past 7 weeks now, just learning everything I can, and past couple of weeks, they actually kind of threw me into the fire a little bit. So they said, well, he'll figure it out, or he won't figure it out, because they left me alone for 2 weeks. But I didn't burn anything down. The machines are still going good, at least when they were when I left. And as for Myra, praise the Lord, she's still pregnant. Amen. We are having a little girl. Amen. So a little girl, little Dahlia. I'm confusing the two names. Dahlia Diane Robb.
Say it again.
Dahlia Diane, like the flower, just without the H. But no, we're super excited, and I have no idea what I'm going to do, but I know the Lord does. Before I get into the passage, I do want to give you all another update and also just ask for prayer. Right now, the church that I work for, the church that I go to there, my pastor there and his family are hurting. You see, his pastor's wife, Miss Anita, has been diagnosed with cancer. It is a very aggressive cancer, and praise the Lord that they caught it now, because if they caught it later, it would be untreatable. But she's getting ready to start chemo, and it is just hard for the entire family. And what is hard for them makes it hard for the church as well. So I do ask for prayer for the McKenzie family in this time. But with all that being said, let's jump into God's word. Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roarings all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest mine iniquity. Forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto thee. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest ye come near unto thee, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this day, Lord, that this special day, Lord, that we can come to your house and worship you, but also, Lord, this special day where we can honor mothers and who they are and what they do for us. Lord God, I pray that you just be with me today, this evening, Lord. Give me the words to speak. Just guide and direct me. Calm my nerves, Lord, and just help me to speak the message that you have given to me and help it to be a blessing, Lord. In your son's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen. Last time I was here, I preached on Nahum 1:7. This kind of goes along with that. This is something that the Lord has been working on in me. Like I said, you know, I lost my job in October, and 5 months later, I got my job, the job that I'm currently working. In that five-month span, we found out that Myra was pregnant, that we were going to be moving to a new house, and that we had to do all of that by Christmas. Plus, we were coming here. Then, this past year, finding out that my pastor's wife has cancer, the assistant pastor there has had a blood clot in his leg that was in danger of going to his heart. We've lost a couple of church members there. Some have left, some have gone on to heaven. But you know, through it all, God is good. God is good. You know, I came across this passage like I hadn't read it before, but in my Bible reading a couple of weeks ago, and just it struck me, and the Lord said, you need to study this out because it'll be a help to you. And I hope this also is very much a help to y'all as well. I have a few questions that I want to start off with. When you were a kid, where did you go when you had a bad dream and you woke up in the middle of the night? When you were a kid, who did you run to when you got hurt? When you were outside playing and you fell and you skinned your knee or your elbow, or if you were like me, you hit your head. Who did you go to when you needed to be taken care of, when you were sick? When you had a fever, when you were just not feeling good? Who did you run for with that toy when you were in the toy aisle and you said, I want this, can I get this? Who'd you run to for advice when you needed just somebody to talk to? Who did you know that would take care of you no matter what? Well, if you're like me, all of those answers are my parents. My parents are the ones that I ran to when I had a bad dream. My parents are the ones I ran to when I got hurt. My parents are the one that I ran to when I was sick, when I wanted to ask for something, when I wanted to show them something that I was proud of that I did. I went and showed them. Why is it that as children, we run to our parents? We find it easy to run to our parents as our hiding place. But as we get older and we can no longer run to our parents, we find it hard to run to our Heavenly Father, who can do everything. David found it hard, obviously, from reading this passage. In this passage, in the first four verses, really the verses 3 and 4, you see the effect that sin has on the body. In verse 3, David talks about how he kept silent. He kept his sin to himself. He hid it within himself. He was like, well, no one knows what I did. I'm just going to hold it to myself. I'm not going to tell anybody. anybody. Rather than confessing his sin and transgressions to God, David hides it. He keeps it to himself, and he says what it does to him. In verse 3, he doesn't beat around the bush. He simply says, "When I kept silent, my bones waxed old. My bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." David probably thought that he was smart, beguiling God, being cunning and saying, "Well, if I hide my sin over here, no one's going to see it. Well, people may not see it, but God sees everything." Albert Barnes says this about David keeping silent. David probably hoped the conviction of sin would just die away. Sinners unwilling to confess still think that the conviction of sin will just die away. But the truth is, it really doesn't. You can see people out and about and who are living a life of sin, and they know that they're doing wrong. In and of themselves, they know that they are doing wrong. But they just keep it to themselves and just hope that that wrong feeling will just go away. And they do thing after thing after thing. They're good. They could be good things and trying to make themselves feel better. But it's not. The conviction of sin never dies away. David was hiding in the wrong place. He was hiding in of himself. I have a few illustrations for this, a bad hiding spot. Have you ever been playing hide and seek with kids or seen kids playing hide and seek, and one kid starts counting, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, skip a few, 100, and then you have that one kid that's over here standing in the middle of the room, eyes covered and snickering, because if I can't see you, you can't see me. This is the best hiding spot in the world. And they're the first found, and they throw a fit. Maya and I have two cats and a dog. One cat, Binx, she's a black, long-haired black cat. She's a big cat. She's almost 2 years old, and one of her favorite hiding, she has two favorite hiding places. One of them is underneath our bed. Not all the way underneath the bed, just the top half of her body is hidden underneath the bed. The other half is just out. And she thinks she's got the best hiding spot in the world. The other place is behind curtains. Not just regular curtains, sheer curtains. She sits there like you can't see her, and she will just jump out and attack your feet like you didn't see her. When I did that summer internship in California, we played the teens, and me and the other interns, we played a game of sardines, just reverse hide and seek. Everybody's seeking, and there's one hider, and when you find the hider, you hide with them. Well, one of the teens thought it was a great idea to hide behind a baby grand piano that was nearly up against a wall. You ever seen 20-plus teenagers try to hide behind a baby grand piano that is nearly up against a wall? That piano gets pushed further and further and further away from the wall, until it's in the middle of the room, and you just have all these kids sitting and practically in the middle of the room. None of these hiding places worked well. not the kid covering their eyes, not the cat hiding underneath the bed, not all the teenagers hiding behind the baby grand piano. Just as David's hiding place himself didn't work too well. David says that his bones waxed old and his moisture turned into the drought of summer. The sin that he was keeping to himself was eating him alive. There was no relief. Sin will weigh on you. Sin will suck the life out of you. As a matter of fact, it will suck you dry. You know, sin still does that. Sin will weigh on you both spiritually, physically, and mentally. All you have to do is look at the world today and you see the effects of all three of these that sin has in all three of these locations. You can go outside and walk around. You can go anywhere. You can go to Walmart. You can go to Target. You can go to the coffee shop down the road. And you'll see somebody who has lived a hard life, has lived a sin-filled life. And you know what? They look, this is the physical side of it, they look older than they should. Mm-hmm. Yep. Pastor, I believe it was actually you that ran into a lady on visitation years ago who said something about living a hard life, and you said she looked it. Amen. Sin adds years to your life as it takes them away. David said his bones waxed old. The moisture from his body was dried up. The only way David was going to find relief is he had to find a better hiding place. Verses 5 through 7 is that better hiding place. In verses 5 through 7, David finally stops hiding it in of themselves. And he says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. David confesses all of his transgressions to God. Everything. He just lays it all out. And the Lord doesn't look at him and say, you're too dirty. I can't use you. No, but rather, the Lord says, you're forgiven. Go serve me. You can still be used. The Lord just cleans that dirty vessel. What a wonderful thing to have your sins forgiven. All of your transgressions, your iniquities, everything bad that you have done, past, present, future, every bad thought that you have had, will, and will have, forgiven. Amen. Try to remember the day that you got saved. For some, that may have been a long time ago. For some, it may have been just a short time ago. For me, it was when I was 18 years old. Right here at this church. What a relief to have your sins forgiven. What a relief. David found his hiding place. David found a safe place under the protection of God. Amen. Barnes says the general illusion is concealment from an enemy, a hiding place. But the immediate reference here is to sin and the consequences of sin. By fleeing to God, he would be secure against all evils, amen, which sin would bring upon human beings. When we find our hiding place in God, he protects us. He keeps us. He keeps us, yes, from the enemy, yes, from Satan, but he also keeps us from sin and the effects of sin. Right. And you know, when this is another really good thing that God does, when we fall, when we teeter, and we just finally fall over, the Lord just doesn't walk away. He stays there. And all you have to do is get up. You may need help from somebody else to get up, but you still get up, you dust yourself off, and you confess to the Lord again, and he cleans you up again, and you're back in your hiding place. Amen. As easy as that. Back in your hiding place. Now, when David came to this hiding place, do you think he wanted to just keep it to himself? Like when those kids that I mentioned earlier that were playing hide and seek, and one of them found the best hiding spot in the world, they found a secret cabinet that no one found about and was just small enough for them to crawl into and sit down and hunker down. Does that kid keep that hiding spot to themselves? Or do they just go out and start bragging to their friends, "I found the best hiding spot in the world. You will never find me." Eventually they let it slip and, well, there goes their hiding spot. But no, David, on the other hand, he found the best hiding place because it's not of this world, and he wanted to tell everyone about it. Amen. Right away. He did not want to keep it to himself. He wanted to guide others, amen, to his hiding place. David wanted to show others this great hiding place. It was unlike any earthly hiding place there ever is or ever will be. Because, you know, earthly hiding places have limited room. They have limited space for people to come in, for people to hide in. But God, the best hiding place that there is, has plenty of room for everyone. Amen. Everyone. David wants to show other people this hiding place. He wants to guide them there so they don't have to go through the same things that he went through. He doesn't want them to have their bones waxed old or to feel like the moisture of their bodies has gone away to the drought of summer. He wants to show everybody, "This is my hiding place. Come hide with me." I know it seems counterintuitive to tell everyone about your hiding place, but it is the best thing that you can do. Amen. It is the best thing that we can do. But you know, there are conditions. You have to be willing to go to that hiding place. A person cannot be forced to go to God. You cannot hold a gun to somebody's head, a knife to their throat, threaten them with their life, and say, "Confess that the Lord is God or die." They could just say it with their mouth, but it's nothing. They haven't chosen God as their hiding place. This is the old saying, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Verse 9 talks about a horse and a mule, which having to be led by bit and bridle, and they don't have any understanding. They have to be led by bit and bridle because they are unwilling to go where you want them to go. You must be willing to go to this hiding place. And unfortunately, there will be some that do not go to this hiding place. No matter how great you tell how great it is and how you tell them how great it is, they just won't go. And they say, no, I've got this. I've got a better hiding place. No matter how many times you tell them, it's like, no, you really don't. Your hiding place, standing there in the middle of the room with your hands covering your eyes, everyone sees you. Everyone. In verse 10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked. The wicked's bones will wax old. The hand of the Lord will be heavy upon them. Their moisture will be turned into the drought of summer. The wicked will have many sorrows. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass around him. Those that find their hiding place in the Lord are truly blessed. Mercy surrounds them. You know, and it's because that this mercy surrounds them that no matter what they go through, they can be glad in the Lord. And they can rejoice and they can shout for joy. Because it is through the Lord that they are made righteous. It is through the Lord that they are upright in heart. Amen. With your hiding place in God, your sins can be forgiven. Your iniquities forgotten. You can shout for joy. You can rejoice in the Lord no matter what comes your way. Whether it's you lose your job and you're without a job for a long time and you have a kid on the way, your wife's facing cancer, you're getting ready to have to move and do everything, or you're just facing some hardships, you can still rejoice.
Amen.
And shout for joy. You can still say, the Lord is my hiding place. He has me.
Amen.
So, I ask you tonight, same question I have written down in my Bible. Where is your hiding place? Who do you go to in your time of need? Who do you go to for advice? Who do you run to when things go bad? Who do you run to when things go good? Is it yourself? Or is it the best hiding place in the world? Because it is not of this world.
Amen.
I plead for you to choose that hiding place that is not of this world. Because in that hiding place, you can rejoice.
Amen.
And shout for joy.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.